So we're going to talk tonight a little bit about Machatzis HaShekel, the minig that we have to give Machatzis HaShekel on Tainus Esther, or some give on Purim, as we'll see in a few minutes. But then we're really going to expand the sugya into a much more expansive topic, which is all about Unishalma Parm Sfasenu and making a Zecher LeMikdash, which is really the background to the mitzvah of giving Machatzis HaShekel. So the din is that Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYakayam, There used to be a mitzvah al kol echad ve'echad miYisrael, like we expounded upon last week. There was a mitzvah on everyone to give machtzis hashekel b'chol shana v'shana, and the point of the machtzis hashekel was to buy the karbanos tzibur. That we already discussed at length last week. What are the parameters of that mitzvah? Who is mechuyev to give the machtzis hashekel? And do we say that it's totally connected, only connected to the karbanos tzibur? Or do we say maybe it's possibly, according to the Rambam, a separate mitzvah on its own as well, that we discussed already last time. So we're not really going to get back into that now, because now we're just dealing with the Zecher L'Machatzis HaShekel, which we do b'zman hazeh, at the time of Purim. Now, we have a... what's the reason why we give Machatzis HaShekel now? So if you look at the first Gemara that we quote on the source sheet, Gemara Megillah Daf Chaf Tesem and Beis, the Gemara tells us very clearly, in Megillah, Yesh lecha chodesh atatzarach lechadsha b'havas olos t'midim u'musafim mitshuma chadasha. There was one month in the year where you must bring the karbanos from new money. The Gemara says clearly, v'zeh chodesh nisan lechziv ba rishon hu lachem lechadsha yashan. It's really a play on the words. Rishon hu lachem lechadsha yashan means it's just the first of the months. That really shouldn't have any connection at all to the karbanos tzibur. That pasuk is not dealing at all with the karbanos at all. Yet we find that the pasuk uses this terminology of Rishon Hu Lachem Lechad Sheyashana to teach us that this has to be the first month with regard to the money that comes in from Machatzis HaShekel as well. That now we must use from new money, and even if there's money that's left over in the bank from last year's Machatzis HaShekel, we must now use new money, fresh money, for the Karbanos of Chodesh Nisan and onward. So the Mishnah tells us in Chavtes Amid Aleph in Megillah, that Rosh Chodesh Adar Shechalias B'Shabbos, when Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out on Shabbos, Karan Parsha Shkalim. We know that the Gemara over here in that context brings up the din that we find in the beginning of Pesachim, that we find in other places, that Shloshim Yom Karan Machag, a person already has to get ready to begin his mitzvahs, to learn the mitzvahs Hachag, right? That the Gemara, we all know that. So over here, the same would apply that if on Rosh Chodesh Nisan is when we must bring Karbanos from the new money that comes in from Machatzis HaShekel, that's when the Chacham or Koveya, so then we must already begin to get ready for that mitzvah on Rosh Chodesh Adar. And that's why we lay in Parsha Shkalim already beginning Rosh Chodesh Adar. So the Gemara says, the reason why we begin already from Rosh Chodesh Adar to tell everybody about the mitzvah of Machatzis HaShekel is because of the din, Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag, 30 days before we're confronted with any mitzvah, we must already worry about how we're going to be mekayim it. So it sounds from the simple reading in the Gemara that even Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYakayim, they also used to read Parsha Shkalim before Rosh Chodesh Adar. Why? Because the Ikar HaMitzvah was to bring Machatzis HaShekel on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and in preparation for that mitzvah, they used to already announce it on Rosh Chodesh Adar. That's the simple understanding of the Gemara. And that's the way Rashi explains it over there as well. The Mishnah Berurah in Tafresh Pei Hei Sif Aleph explains that the Kriya Parsha Shkalim Bizman Hazeh is only a Zecher LeMikdash. That since then they would already begin to tell everyone about getting their Machatzis HaShekel ready, so now Zecher LeMikdash we also lay in Parsha Shkalim. That's the way the Mishnah Berurah formulates it, and he says it's because of the din Unishalma Parm Sfasenu, that nowadays we don't have the schus of giving Machatzis HaShekel and funding the Karbanos Tzibur, so therefore Unishalma Parm Sfasenu, we discuss it, we lay in that parsha, and that's the way we're mekayim our mitzvah. However, the chinuch mitzvah kuf hey, this sounds like a merely insignificant nafkamina between these different shitas here, but we'll see in a minute, it makes a very big nafkamina. The chinuch writes in mitzvah kuf hey, which is all about machatzis hashekel, the chinuch writes that no, bizman shebeis hamikdash hayakayam, they did not used to lay in this parsha. Says the chinuch, ma'achsha ba'avanoseinu, she'ein lanu mikdash velo shkalim, nowadays, when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash to bring Karbanos, and we don't have a whole institution of Machatzis HaShekel, Nagu Kol Yisrael Lezecher Ledavar Likros VeBeis HaKnesses B'chol Shana V'Shana Parshazu. So the Achrenim are Medayik from the Chinuch, that it sounds from the Chinuch's Lashon, that Bizban Shebeis HaMikdash HaYakayim, There was no such thing as Kriyas Parsha Shkalim. It's only something that we do nowadays in order to be Mekayim this Indian Abu Neshama Parim Svasenu. That's what the Acharonim learn now from the Chinuch. So the Binyan Shlomo sound, what's the difference? Whether you learn like the Mishabur, the Menchas Chinuch, who cares? Whether they used to do Bizman Beis HaMikdash, who cares? So there is a big Nafkamina. The Binyan Shlomo writes a Chiddush in Siman Nun Dalet in his Shalos Teshuvos that really there seem to be two dinim here. There is not a disagreement at all. There's Rashi and the Mishnah Berurah who believe he was before the Mishnah Berurah, but he's going with the camp of Rashi that said that even Bizman HaBayis, they used to lay in Parsha Shkalim. That was one type of Kriyas Parsha Shkalim, which was Bizman Beis HaMikdash, which was just a Hechraza Ba'alma. It wasn't really like Kriyas HaTorah like we have nowadays, Parsha Shkalim. It was just a Hechraza Ba'alma. They would lay in the Parsha of Kisisa just to remind everybody that in another 30 days you're going to have to bring your Machzis HaShekel to the Beis HaMikdash. That was one Parsha of Parsha Shkalim. We have nowadays a separate Indian of Parsha Shkalim, which is Unishama Parm Svasenu, that since we do not any longer have the schus of bringing karbanos, therefore we have to go out of our way and make sure we lay in the parsha of Shkalim nowadays because of this issue of the Neshalma Parm Soseinu. Now, what is the difference? Says the Binyan Shlomo, Nafkamina would be lahalacha whether a katan is allowed to read the parsha of Shkalim or not. If Bizman HaMikdash, you're going to say it was just a hachraza ba'alma, it was just to remind people, so anyone could get up. A woman, a katan, could get up and lay in the parsha because it's not a real chaybes kriya midaraisa or midarabanan. There's nothing that I have to do. I'm just trying to remind everybody. So the same way a katan could go and hang up signs, or a woman could go and hang up signs, so too we can have a katan laying the parasha shkalim because all it is a hachraza ba'alma. However, he says, bizman hazeh, when it's because of a neshama parim svasenu, so now it's a real chiyuv that we have on ourselves, we've taken upon ourselves, because we want to make it as much as possible, just like the machzis hashekel that was in the days of the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore he says that nowadays a katan would not be sufficient for the laning of Parsha Shkalim.
If the laning is Neshama Parm Svasenu, then why do we have to also give a shekel? I have a chazi shekel, in other words, if
that was good enough.
Yeah, I mean, if
So the Binyan Shlomo ends up saying it could be that his cheshbon is all wrong, because he says, if you can't say that we're more chamer nowadays than we were in the Bizman Beis HaMikdash. Bizman Beis HaMikdash, everyone had a chiv to give Machzis HaShekel, and that was just a hachraza ba'alma. So exactly your point. If you're going to say Bizman HaZeh, it's just a Neshama Parm Svasenu, so how can you say it's more chamer than it was Bizman HaMikdash? It's very hard to say. So he actually points that out, and he's not sure about it. And it's interesting that the Mikrei Kodesh of Tzvi Pesach Frank, in the first piece on Purim, also discusses this issue. He throws in another monkey wrench. He says that we discussed in last week's year, 2 weeks ago also, that some Rishonim believe, there's a Machlekes, the Rambam and the Bartanur, or other Rishonim, get involved in this Machlekes. Also Rashi Menachos, whether the chi of Machzis HaShekel is from 13 and on, because once he's a bar mitzvah, now he's mechui b'chal mitzvah satara. Or do we say, no, Machzis HaShekel is totally dependent on the counting of the Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, which only began from 20. So the Chinuch and the Rashi said in Menachos that you only begin to give Machzis HaShekel from 20, that we know by the counting was like that, but they say that by Machzis HaShekel as well, every year for the Karbanos Tzibur, also you only give from 20 and on. So the Mikrei Kodesh points out that would be an afkamini here as well. If you hold like those Rishonim that you only begin to give Machzis HaShekel from 20, maybe we should have a chumra that Bizman HaZeh, the person who lays Parsha Shkalim, should be over 20. Because if Bizman HaZeh, it's because of a Neshama Parm Svasenu, and we're trying to replicate exactly what was going on in the Beis HaMikdash, so why should we have someone laying who's less than 20 years old? Interesting point that he raises, but again, your point is much more sticks out a lot more, that really maybe this whole Nafkamina wouldn't apply at all, because really we should assume that once you're giving the Machzis HaShekel, that's already enough for the Neshama Parm Svasenu, and it's hard to say that really the Kriya of Parsha Shkalim is the Neshama Parm Svasenu as well. The Gemara tells us in Tainus Daf Chav Tes, the famous Gemara that we have over here, number 4, Amar Rav Yehuda Bar Yehuda Shmuel Bar Shelas Mishmei Derav, Kishem Shemishenechnas Av Mematim Besimcha, Kach Mishenechnas Adar Marbim Besimcha. Tonight being Rosh Chodesh Adar, so let's just discuss this for a minute. It's interesting that the Gemara says Kishem Kach, right? Very often when the Gemara wants to compare two different things, so you say Kishem, just like this, so too that. Just like X, so too Y. But what's the Kishem Kach? What does it mean? Just because we're Memayit Besimcha in Av, what does that have to do with the fact that we're Marbim Besimcha in Adar? So that's the Sfasemis points out in the Gemara in Tainus Daf Chavtes, He says he doesn't understand what the kashem and kach is. It has nothing to do with each other. Happens to be two different times in the year we have different emotions. During Elul, we also were serious. So why doesn't the Gemara say also kashem that we're serious in Elul and we're supposed to be chayz b'tshuva? So too in Adar we're supposed to be happy. What's the connection between these 2 months? We have certain feelings that we have, like in Chodesh Nisan, the Sfasamas points out. Everyone feels the chayrus. Everyone feels excited from Pesach. So why don't you say kashem that we have a feeling of chayrus during Pesach, during the season of Pesach, during Nisan, so too we have a feeling of excitement during Adar. So he says there must be some sort of intrinsic connection between Adar and Av. And he says as follows, that the reason why we're sad during the month of Av is because of the Bittul HaKarbanos and the Churban Beis HaMikdash. That we know. We used to have a Beis HaMikdash. We used to be very excited to bring Karbanos, to do Avodah Bifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now we no longer have that experience. We no longer have that opportunity. Therefore, we're sad during the month of Adar, all over the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Says the Sfas Emes in Av. However, says the Sfas Emes, when it comes to Adar, Adar is when they used to start announcing that everyone should give in their Matzah HaShekel before Nisan. So he said, this is an excitement not because of Purim. This is an excitement that began way before the story of Purim started. This is an excitement that's because of the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, that we're funding the Karbanos Tzibur. Says the Sfas Emes on the Gemara that that's why we're excited during Chodesh Adar. It's not because of Purim happens to fall out in that month. Rather, it's because we're giving money to fund the Karbanos Tzibur and to get the Beis HaMikdash going with his chachos. It's to continue the Beis HaMikdash going strong during the year. So therefore, the Sfas Emes says that's directly connected. That's the Kashem and Kach. The same way we're sad during Av because there's Churban Beis HaMikdash, so too we're excited during Adar because that's when we begin to start making the announcements about the Tikkun Beis HaMikdash, for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, for everyone to get excited and to give their pledges into the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, the Sfas Emes explains, based on this Mahalach also, that many Acharonim ask a question. If you're going to say that the whole Simcha of Adar is just because of Purim, so why do you say Mishenichmas Adar Marim Simcha? Why don't you say only from Purim and on? From the time of the Nes Purim, we were very excited, and from then on, you should say we should be happy. Why is it that the Gemara says all months? Says the Sfas Emes, because you're already excited. It's a raya to his yisoid. He says that from the fact that it already begins at Rosh Chodesh Av means that it's an excitement over the fact that there's going to be Tikkun Beis HaMikdash, that there's going to be a rebuilding again, a renewal of the Hakravas HaKarbanos. So it's an interesting thing to keep in mind now that we're reading Parsha Shkal and we're giving Matzah HaShekel, like we'll see in a second what the minhag exactly is. So it's something to keep in mind, that it's obviously something that we're supposed to be mispalo for, it's something that we're looking forward to, that our Neshama Parmas Vaseinu, we're doing our part to try to be a chelik of the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. It's something that we're supposed to be excited about. It's supposed to be that we're mitzapa for. Maybe this is a time that we're supposed to think about it a little more seriously because the Sfas Emes says that that's what the Simcha and Chodesh Adar is all about. So now just to say the details of this Indian of giving Matzah HaShekel nowadays. So we have the Ramah in Tuf Reish Tzadi Dalad Sif Aleph. Says the Ramah, Yesh Omrim. What are the details of being Mekayim this minug? Yeshom sheyesh litein kodem purim machtis min hamatbeya hakavua ba'osa makum ba'osa hazman. The Rambam writes that as well. That is not specifically the coins that they used to use bizman beis hamikdash. It's the coins that we use in our town. It's the coins that we use in our medina. Zeichel machtis hashekel shayinosnim ba'adar. There are many who have the chumrah nowadays to use the silver dollars, the half dollars. They don't give dollar bills. So the reason for that is because the Chassam Sofer has in a few tshuvas, he has a steer in a couple of tshuvas, whether dollar bills is also considered official currency or is it only coins. Do we recognize that in halacha as kesef or not? So therefore some want to be machmir and say if Matzah HaShekel is something where you really need to give kesef, so based on the Chassam Sofer's suffix, which he's not sure about in a few tshuvas, it could be that a person to be Mekayim this minute should go out of his way and give specifically coins and not dollar bills. Many hold that we don't have to get that carried away with just, it's just a minute because of an Neshama Parim Sosena, we don't have to do everything exactly the way it was in the Beis HaMikdash, and because of the Chumrah of the Chassam Sofer, you don't have to make yourself crazy. But why not? All the shuls have it. All the shuls have the Machtos HaShekel, right? They all have three I'm coins in them. What?
Why not do it the right way?
Right, why not do it the right way? So that's why, to be machmer for the Chassam Sofer's Chumrah, that's why we do it this way. That's what that's all about. Says the Ramah, Me'achas she'gimel pa'amim kasev chuma b'parsha, from the fact that it says the word chuma three times in the Pasuk, yesh liten gimel, that's the minhag why we give three coins. So we'll find on Erev Purim, on Tainus Esther, all the pushkas have three coins put together. A person's supposed to pick them up and give them in, give a donation to be like machzus hashekel, zechel machzus hashekel. V'yeshlit no belel purim kano shemispal mincha. The Rama says that the minig is you give it on Tanis Esther before you daven mincha. And a person should be careful to say zechel machzus hashekel, because then you get into a shaila whether it becomes hektish. If you say this is machzus hashekel, it's a shaila in the achronim whether or not it becomes hektish. So a person should be careful just to be mahader as much as he can. Number one, he should pick up the three coins. He should give some tzedakah, and number three, he should make sure that he says zechel machzus hashekel and not this is machzus hashekel. He should make a special point to that. So the Mishnah Berurah over there writes b'shem the Magen Avraham that not only do we have the minig to give on Tanis Esther right before mincha, we also have the minig to give it on the day of Purim before Shacharis, before we read the Megillah. That's when a person is supposed to give. So the regular minig is that you give tzedakah on Purim morning before you land the Megillah, and you also do the Machzus HaShekel on Tanis Esther. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, Yachalitein Moz Machzus HaShekel Eiza Makam Sheyirtze. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, even though I would have said that this is all because of Neshama Parm Soseinu, and the whole reason for Machzus HaShekel is to be Mechazik, is to strengthen the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, to strengthen all the finances that the Beis HaMikdash has, all the expenses that they have during the year. Aruch HaShulchan says, I would have thought that in commemoration of that, I would have had to give the money specifically to a Beis Knesses, specifically to a shul or a yeshiva, to make sure that it's mechazik, just like the Beis HaMikdash, we have to be mechazik, so to this, says the Aruch HaShulchan, no. Lav davka, letikun Beis HaKnesses, shukum abedek habayis, I don't specifically have to give it to fixing a shul or to the shul fund, I can give it to anything. Eino elu zikaron ba'alma, says the Aruch HaShulchan, let's not get carried away, it's just a zikaron, it's not actual machzus HaShekel, v'ikr machzus HaShekel haya ala karbanos, v'akshav l'shaf din zekla. He says, really, the Machzus HaShekel used to go for the Kavanas. Nowadays, we don't have that. So therefore, the regular minig is we give it to Tzedakah. We don't specifically say that we want it to go for the Shul as opposed to anything else. Fine. So that's just a brief synopsis of what we're going to do in the coming week. The reason why is because there's no Shir next week. It's Zayin Adarsim. So that's why we're not going to have a Purim Shir. So we're just going through the Minhagim quickly now. So now, on to Neshama Parm Svaseinu. We have the beautiful words of the Tur in Simen Mem Ches. Says the Tur, Kavla Doras Parshas Tamid Kedisa B'Medrish B'Zman She'en Beis HaMikdash Kayim Matahe Aleim. Klal Yisrael was very concerned. What are they going to do when there's no Beis HaMikdash? How are they going to support themselves? How are they going to sustain themselves? Anytime a person does Naveira, he's gone. He's out. It used to be B'Zman She'en Beis HaMikdash Kayim. I had the chance. I was able to go bring a Karman Chatas. I could get a Kapar. But nowadays, what am I going to do? There's no chance for me to be to still stay afloat. So what did the Ribbono Shel Olam say? Kvar hikdamti lahem seder hakarbanos. The Ribbono Shel Olam said, I already gave them the seder hakarbanos. Kol zman she'asukim bahem, mala ani aleihem ki'ilu hakrivim lefanai. There's a beautiful vart my father once told me. I was just reminded that the vart starts like this. It's really on Haggadah Shel Pesach, but it connects to a bunch of different things. It's strange. If you look in the Maisa with the five Tanoim, in the Haggadah, Maisa, Reb Lazar, Reb Kiva, whatever, Reb Tarfon Shalim, Sumim, Bnei Brak. So what happened? They all traveled to Reb Kiva's town, to Bnei Brak, to Prava the Seder by Reb Kiva. So the Mefarshim all ask, Reb Kiva was the youngest, he was one of the Talmidim. Why is Reb Lazar going to Reb Kiva's Seder in Bnei Brak? Why is everyone schlepping to Bnei Brak to go have a Seder by Reb Kiva? It doesn't make any sense. And it's strange. So all the Mefarshim are bothered with this kasha, and they say, well, had they all lean if Reb Lazar was there, Reb Lazar was the Rebbe, and you're not allowed to Shayim Asud B'nei Brak, how were they allowed to do Haseba in front of Reb Lazar if he was all there, he was the Rebbe of all the Tanar. Fine, so they get around that kasha, they say Reb Kiva was the Mar D'Asra, Mar D'Asra is the Dinkar Al-Adar, whole story, fine, separate question. But the real question is, what in the world were they doing by Reb Kiva? Reb Kiva was the Talmud, and he shouldn't have been the one who was hosting the Seder for everyone. So the Mefarshim explained, my father told me this once, that you can say a beautiful pshat, that Reb Kiva is famously known in the end of the Gemara Makos for saying that they all saw the Shualim running around the Beis HaMikdash. Everyone was concerned. Everyone was crying. Haya kulam bochem Reb Kiva mitzachek. He was the ultimate optimist. He was the one who always saw the good in everything. So he said, no, you don't have to cry about it. I see something beyond the terrible situation that you're all looking at. I see that there's going to be a nevuah, that one day this is going to be rebuilt and there's nothing to worry about, and don't be concerned, don't cry. So Reb Kiva was known as the optimist. So here we are, right after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Klal Yisrael is falling to pieces. What kind of Pesach is this? We remember having a Pesach with Karban Pesach, and everyone was pushing in the Beis HaMikdash to shech the Karban Pesach, and the way the Gemara explains it, how it used to be in Yerushalayim in the days of the of the Beis Hamikdash, when Pesach night happened, the Gemara says it was like the roofs were gonna cave in because of all the singing from the Hallel that was going on in Yerushalayim. That's the way the Gemara says. Halela Paka Igra. It's like the roofs were gonna cave in because of everyone was singing and dancing from the simcha that they had on Pesach night. So imagine the first year after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, here all the time I'm trying to figure out how in the world are we supposed to make a Seder and feel the Cheres, feel the Gula. How could it be? What? They lived through the Churban. So it doesn't say. So this is a suggestion.
Because Rabbi Akiva lived until Bar Kokhba, which is...
way later.
Which is 125, 130.
Right.
And that was 70. That's 55 years later.
Right, but they all lived through the Churban. That's clear. That's what the Gemara in Makos is talking about. Right after the Churban, they didn't know what to do with themselves. They see the Shualim running through, and he said, don't worry about it. So here also, my father suggested that this is possibly right after the Churban. And how in the world are they supposed to have a Seder and feel a Cher? So what do they do? They go to the ultimate optimist. They go to Rabbi Kiva's house. They know that they need someone to be mechazik them. They know they need someone to run the Seder and make them feel the geula and the cheiros. So therefore, they all travel to the house of Rabbi Kiva that he should be the one to prove the Seder this year. He's the only one that's going to figure out how to make a proper Seder in a year like this. So that's why they went to Rabbi Kiva's house. So my father said that Rav Soloveitchik said a similar vart, that the Mishnah says, Ashrechem Yisrael, Amr Rabbi Kiva, Ashrechem Yisrael, Lufnei mi atem atam, mi matar eslam, vichem shba shamayim. Right? Ma mikver matar eslam, tmei ma afkash baruch matar eslam. So what's this mimer all about? Where's Rabbi Kiva flying out of thin air? Ashrechem Yisrael, well, what's his comment all about? So he said, Rabbi Soloveitchik explained, maybe that's also al derech all this Rabbi Kiva l'shitasa. The Rabbi Kiva is the one who always knows how to be optimistic. He knows how to find the good in everything. So therefore, Rabbi Kiva is the one who right after the Churban Habayis, Klal Yisrael is petrified. How in the world are we ever going to get a kapara again? We can't bring karbanos. Lifnei mi atem atar. Klal Yisrael is asking, how are we ever going to have a tahara again if now we no longer have a Beis Hamikdash? Says Rabbi Kiva, Ashrechem Yisrael. Don't worry about it. Lifnei mi atem atar. It's not the karbanos. It's not the Beis Hamikdash. You're fine. Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avicham Sheba Shamayim. He's good enough. Even after this man, Churban Habayis, you're still able to have a kapar. You're still able to figure out how you're going to have connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam, because as long as he's there, Ma Mikrei Matar Satzmeim, Av HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matayis Yisrael. You don't have to worry about anything. So it's interesting that the tour is quoting this also over here, that there's a medrash like that. What was Klal Yisrael going to do after there's no longer HaKrabos HaKarbanos in the Beis HaMikdash? Says the medrash, the Ribbono Shel Olam came and he said, as long as you're asukin be'inyan HaKarbanos, Mala Ni'aleim Ki'ilu Ekrivim Lefanet. Says the tour, he continues, V'tov lamar achar zeh, after the person recites karbanos in the morning, which by the way, Rabbi Yonah in Brachos Daf Hei writes that it might be a chiyuv d'oraisa to say karbanos every morning. So, therefore, we know that there's a whole Seder Kedima when a person comes late to shul and he's not going to be able to say all the psukah de zimra. Many say that based on this Rabbi Yonah that it might be d'oraisa to say the parshas ha-karbanos in the morning, a person should possibly skip part of Psukah de Zimra to make sure he has time to say Parshas Karban Tamid. It's a very important thing to say every day. And the Torah writes, V'tov lamar achazeh, therefore, since this is all about an Shalom of Parmas of Seinah, therefore a person should say afterward, V'bono lamar ata tzivisana lahakav karban atamid, b'mo'adov aliyas kohanam ba'avadasam, m'luvim b'duchanam, v'yisrael b'ma'amadam. You set up this whole system in the Beis HaMikdash that we should be makav karbanos, the kohanim should bring them for us, the Yisraelim should stand around and watch them. But nowadays, Charva Mikdash Batal Atamid, Ein Lanu Kohen Ba'Avadasa. We don't have a Kohen, we don't have a Levi, we don't have a Yisrael. We have nothing. We can't bring karbanos. Ve'ata Amarto Neshalma Paras Vaseinu. You promised us that if we say the Seder our karbanos, that's going to be good enough. That's fine. Lachen Yiratzim Lefanecha Sheizeh Chashav Mekubal Lefanecha Kilu Karva Atamid B'Mo'adov Amanati Amamadu. So the Torah writes that therefore a person is supposed to say this nusach after he mentions the Parshas Karban Tamid in the morning, because of the Neshalma Parmas Vaseinu. It says the Mishnah Brura there, in Simen Mem Ches, Sif Katan Aleph, that this means, not only that a person is just supposed to recite the Parsha of Karbanos, obviously if a person is able to delve into it and actually understand it, he must do so, in order to be Yotzi Yitzchiv of the Neshalma Parmas Vaseinu. It's not good enough just to read it. That's what the Mishnah Brura says, that that's made for the people that don't know how to learn. So the minimum is that they just say the Parsha of Kabbalah, so they don't know what they're saying. But for us, that we actually know how to understand, for us that we know how to learn a Gemara, says the Mishnah Berurah, we really have a chiv to do a lot more than just say the Parsha as is. And the Raman, Siman Kuf Chav Gimel, says, Nagu after Shemana Esrei, what do we say every day? We say, Yiratzen Sheibana Beis HaMikdash Meir Yameinu, B'Sein Chalkeinu B'Sar HaSecha. So what does it mean, Yiratzen Sheibana Beis HaMikdash? That tefillah is v'makam akarbanos. So therefore, after we offer our karbon, our tefillah, we ask the Ribbono Shel Olam, Yiratzen Sheibana Beis HaMikdash. Good, right? That's good? So now, what's anyone ever wonder why the Ramah doesn't explain the second half of the tefillah? What does that have to do with anything? So in the Yetzirah Tefillahs, they quote a pshat from the Eitz Yosef, he's one of the Mefarshim on the Chumash, I'm sorry, on the Siddur, that why does a person say the second half of the tefillah? The first part, the Ramah explains, you say, because Yiratzon Sheyibanu Beis HaMikdash, after we are makriv a karbon, after we offer our tefillah, so now we say Yiratzon that we should one day have the Beis HaMikdash back, and we should be able to bring real karbonos. But why the Sein Chalkeinu B'Sar HaSecha says the Yetzirah Tefillahs, the pshat is that a person who knows how to learn Sein Chalkeinu B'Sar HaSecha, we should have our chelak, that we should know how to actually delve into the parshiyos of the karbon tamid, that we should actually know how to learn it up and say it every day with the proper meaning and the proper pshat. So that's a very strong smach to the Mishnah Berurah. What the Mishnah Berurah says is that a person can't just recite the Karban Tamid in the morning, the Parshas HaTamid, and think that's good enough for an Neshama Parmas Vaseinu. No! Mishnah Berurah says a person has to actually learn it and make sure he understands what he's saying, and he should know what the Avodah means. He should know what the different parts of the Avodah were. So therefore, the Eitz Yosef and the Yetzirah Tefillahs explains that that's the meaning of the Tefillah, the Sein Chalkeinu B'Sar HaSecha. He should give us our Chelek in order that we should be able to understand what the Parshas HaKarbanos actually is. Yeah?
Why would you skip it on Shabbos and Yom Tov, after the Karban Tamid?
I mean, the minig is that we don't say bakashas on Shabbos.
Yeah, what?
We don't normally say bakashas on Shabbos. The,
Yes, it's the same as the question. I mean, we're saying it, Shabbos is saying.
It's asking a bakasha. So the question is that...
Yeah, but it's not bakasha, anything of that nature.
Right.
It's saying Shabbos is a mikdash after...
Right, after Shemana Esrei, right. The minig is that you don't say it on Shabbos,
yeah,
it's true?
Shabbos,
really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Some say it's
it. Some say that you do say?
It just says, and some say that you skip those.
Uh-huh. I don't know. Following in this train of thought, the Magen Avraham.
After Shemitah, you do it. I mean, it's not enough. It's also the Rishmalim.
You say that
Yiratzeh. Not every
after
Rishmalim. Yeah. After Shemitah.
No, but after Karban Tamid.
In the middle.
Right, because
Yiratzeh
and
Kili
Krafti Shlomim.
Yeah.
No, not that.
Right. Why don't you say that? I don't know. It's an interesting point. I'm not sure. The Magen Avraham, along with this line of Unishama Parmas Fosein, we try to make it as similar as we can. The Magen Avraham and Simon Memches, which is all about, that's where this tour is as well. Magen Avraham says, therefore, you're supposed to say Parshas HaKarbanos Ba'amida. I think in the Art School Siddur, they have 2 days about this, right? What does it say? Parshas Karban Tamid. What does it say? Yesham she yomer ba'amida, yesham she insar. What? Right, so the Magen Avraham says you're supposed to be machmer and say it's standing up because you're supposed to be as similar to the kind being machmer of the carbon as you can. The Shari Tshuva on the page says, no, you don't have to worry about that, it's ridiculous. You know, what do you mean? Neshama Parmas, you're not shechting anything, what are you talking about? You're supposed to say it because that's enough, you don't have to actually stand. But says the Shari Tshuva, hal v'nafik mi pumei shalom Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham is a pretty chashav guy. So he says, since the Magen Avraham already said it, so let's at least try to be machmer. Why not? It's not so hard. So that's what he says. The Shari Tshuva also quotes from the Acharonim that you're also supposed to say Petzibur, because since the Karban Tamid was a Karban Tzibur, a person shouldn't say Parshas Karban Tamid at home. He should actually say Petzibur, because it's supposed to be as similar as possible to the Karban Tzibur that was in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's the Neshama Parmas Vosein, and we find that we're trying as much as we can to make things as similar as possible to the way they were in the Beis HaMikdash. What does it say there?
It says,
Yeshamer v'yeshamer?
It says, Kazem Bagram Sheshman, the Parsha Gabbat Bamita, Tugmas Akarban, Yeshamer Sheshalam Yeshiva.
Right. Okay, right, so that's the Shari Tshuva Magen Avraham. There you go. So the Lavush writes in Simon Nun Aleph Siv Zayin, it's interesting, the Lavush has a whole write up over here about Mizmar Lasoda. What's this all about? Says the Lavush, Yesh La Omer Ben Agina, you're supposed to say Mizmar Lasoda in a special, beautiful tune. Therefore, Chazal say, "Kol hashiras hasidus libatel chutz mi mizmer lasoda." In the times of the Beis Hamikdash Hashlishi, all the mizmarim are going to be batel. I don't know exactly what it means, except for mizmer lasoda. Why? Ki chazdav v'tarvosav lo yafsiku la'olam. The Rebbeinu Shlom will never stop being good to us. Like it says in Tehillim Kuf Lamed Vav, Kilo Alam Chasdav, and Medinas Elu, Ein Nogim Lomer B'Shamas V'Yantiv, says the Levush, that since this is because of Neshama Parmas Vaseinu, therefore we do not recite Mizmer L'Soda on Shabbos and Yantiv. Why? because we did not used to bring carbon toida on Shabbos and Yom Tov because it was just a regular shlamim. It wasn't zman kavua. Shein toda kreva behem neshu carbon yachum nechem and pesach ein om rosa afilu v'chol amoy de pesach. Why? Because the carbon toida had a lot of chalos, and since you're not able to bring a carbon that is challah on Pesach, therefore we don't. And therefore, in commemoration of that, we do not recite Mizmor L'Sada on Pesach at all. Fine, so says the Levush, we do not say Mizmor L'Sada on any of these specific days, because we know that it's all because of an Neshama Parmes Vaseinu, and this is not like it used to be in the Beis HaMikdash, because in the Beis HaMikdash, they were not makriv karbanos toida on Shabbos, Yontif, Pesach, Erev Pesach. Says the Binyan Shlomo in his Tshuva Simon Nun Vav. I only came across this by mistake because I was looking at the other one, the other Binyan Shlomo, and then the next Tshuva is this.
Why don't you say to Erev Yom Kippur?
Erev Yom Kippur because you're being memayit in the Zman HaAchila. Because the karban toida is Nechal, Shnei Yom V'Laila Echad. So if tomorrow is going to be Yom Kippur, I'm not going to be able to eat it. So, therefore, we don't say it Erev Yom Kippur. And that's the reason we don't say it Erev Pesach either. I could eat it in the morning. Let's say I'm makriv at 6 o'clock in the morning. Answer is no. So, that's a great lead-in to the next point, that the Binyan Shlomo has a kasha, and he says he doesn't understand why he saw all the achronim in the world that preceded him never had this problem. And I see why they didn't, because the problem doesn't really make so much sense. He says he doesn't understand why in the world is it that we leave out Mizmor L'Sada on Erev Pesach because you're being memayed in the Zman Achila. Erev Yom Kippur, because you're being reminded of the Zman Achila, we leave out Mizmor L'Sada all these different times. What's the story? Why do we say Mizmor L'Sada on Tainus Esther? And the Binyan Shlomo says, Ein Potzepa Metzapta. If you can't understand why, no one has ever asked this question in the history of the world. He says it's beyond him why no one was ever bothered by this question.
Why not?
So why not? So says the Binyan Shlomo, because the same way we don't say Mizmor L'Sada on Erev Yom Kippur because you're being memayed in the Zman Achila. Yeah. What do you mean? Because you're not going to be able to eat it tomorrow. Right. So he says over here, if I bring carbon toda on Tainus Esther, I can't eat it today. So I'm also being memayed in the Zman Achila.
Why not Erev Tisha B'Av or any other?
Right, so why all of a sudden is he bothered by Tainus Esther? I have no idea. But let's assume...
First of all, Tainus Esther is not Tainus... It's only
Zecher. Avada. The whole thing's a fake. The whole thing's a Zecher. So 1 second. So we'll get to that in a minute. But basically, he first says... And don't say that you should be mechalek between being memayit the sof achila and the tchilas achila, meaning what? I'm going to be makav a carbon and Erev Yom Kippur, and then I'm going to get 5 minutes before Yom Kippur, and I'm stuck because tomorrow no one's allowed to eat it. So he says maybe over there that's the only time I don't bring a carbon toida, but maybe on Tainus Esther where I'm going to be able to eat it tomorrow, right?
No.
Maybe it's not a problem. Why? Because today I'll worry about giving out all the meat, all the steaks to everybody, and then by tomorrow night it will be eaten already. So he says, no, that's ridiculous. What do you mean? Being memayit in Zman Achila is a problem because we're always concerned that in the next 2 days this is not going to be eaten if you don't give me enough time to eat it. So he says, if 1 day of the 2 days is knocked out, so what does it matter if it's knocked out in the beginning or the end? Either way, I'm stuck. So in the end, he says, if it was up to him, he would say, don't say Mizmor L'Sada on Tainus Esther. Whoa. So it says the Binyan Shlomo, but I'm incorrect because the minute Klal Yisrael for all the generations was that you do say Mizmor L'Sada. So he says, oh, pshat must be like this. That since in all the generations of Klal Yisrael, they never ever were makriv a karban toida on Erev Pesach or Erev Yom Kippur, because it was always memayit bizman achila, therefore we don't say bizman hazeh. However, Tainus Esther, which only happened later, it was in the last years of the Gullus, before the Binyan Bayis Sheni, so he says, so the whole Bayis Rishon, all the 410 years, right? 410 years, that they were living with the Bayis Rishon, they all used to be makriv karbanos, all those years, on Tainus Esther, because there was no such thing as Tainus Esther, we didn't know about it. So therefore he says, we do say Mizmor L'Sada now, because we always used to be makriv karbanos toda on that day. Interesting. I don't know. I'm not so bothered by his question in the first place. The whole thing's a dirabanan.
Tainus Esther was on Pesach.
Tainus Esther.
The real Tainus Esther was Pesach.
Bizman Mordechai, Haman. Yeah.
So... They never said Mizmor L'Sada anyway, because on Pesach you don't say it, because of Chometz. So, I mean, when he's now talking about the Tainus Esther...
Zecher, right. I don't know why he's so bothered by this question. It's a very strange question.
We better. Obviously, because you didn't have Tainus Esther. There was a Yom Nikdar.
Right.
That same day, Yom Nikdar was an Issuk Tainus, so they used to eat on Erev Purim.
I've had these to eat.
So there was no Tainus that day. So
that's what he says.
So we can say it.
That's what he says. That's exactly what he says.
He mentioned Yom Nikner?
He said, I mean, you don't need no Yom Nikner. There was no Tainus. There was nothing. It was a normal day in the year. So you're just saying it was Nacha Yontiv on top of it. But even without that, he says, it was a regular day. They used to eat, normal. Why? Who should assume that there was a fast? And since they used to eat, it was a regular day. You're saying, of course they used to eat. It was a Yom Nikner, it was a Yontif. Even without that, he says that, as Pasha used to say, so what do you do about Erev Tisha B'Av? I don't know. I'm not sure why he's not bothered by that. It's very strange. Whatever. Anyway, so this is about doing...
By Erev Tisha B'Av, do they have Kabbanos on Erev Tisha B'Av? I mean, by... The Talmud was
you're saying there was no Beis Hamikdash. There's no Beis Hamikdash.
That's what I'm saying. It all depends upon the Beis Hamikdash.
What happened? Right. That's what he's saying. So that's why Erev Tisha B'Av is not. No, what about Asar B'Tevis? Also Churban. No, there's no other Tainus? I guess not. Yom Kippur. Okay, so Yom Kippur
the
din. So, Tzom Gedalia, what's the din? I don't know. Whatever. Interesting. Think about it. I don't know. I was very bothered about this question. Right, no, that's what he ends up saying. He ends up saying it. Yeah, okay. That's why I don't think the kasha is so shvar in the first place. It's such an obvious answer. I don't know. Anyway, so when we talk about Zecha L'Migdash, it all stems from a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Minalan Da'avdin on Zecha L'Migdash. How do we know that there's an institution of doing things, Zecha L'Migdash, now that we don't have a Beis HaMigdash at all? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk, Ki Ela Arucha Lach Umimakasecha Arpa'echanu Mashem, whatever, that Tzion Hi Darashein La. The Rabban Shalom is crying, that Tzion Hi Darashein La. There's no one who cares about Beis HaMigdash, about Tzion anymore, therefore Mechlad Abay Jisha. The Gemara makes a drasha that from here you see that we have to do things that show, that emphasize the fact that we care about the Churban Beis HaMikdash, that we care about making Zeichel HaMikdash, and that we always remember the fact that we're in a state of destruction. So I'm just going to go through a few points during Seder HaTfilah where we find that we do a Zeichel HaMikdash. Number one is in Shulchan Aruch, Arachayim, Sim Kuflam, and Aleph, the Mechaber writes, Nagu Lipal Alapayim, Umastirim Pneim. Says the Mechaber, we have the minhag to do Nefilas Apayim. Right after Shmona Esrei, we do Tachna. Now, what in the world is that about? Says the Torah. If you look at number 8, the Torah writes as follows. Hatam, sheyesh l'espalma nefilas apayim. Why in the world do we fall down on our arms and daven nefilas apayim? Says the Torah, kadeshi yisadar hatfila begimel star. That the tefillah should have three separate portions. Number 1, tefila demiyushav. Haynu ad shmona esrei. Person is supposed to sit for the beginning of tefillah. Specifically supposed to sit. We find a lot of people who vacle around the back. But Lamaisa, the Torah says, a person is specifically supposed to daven sitting down, all of Psukah de Zimra, until he says Shmona Esrei. He's supposed to be in a sitting position. Obviously, you stand for those parts that need standing, but you're supposed to generally sit. Ma'achakach tefillah d'muma, then after that, obviously, we have Shmona Esrei. Ma'achakach nefilah sapayim, then after that, we do nefilah sapayim. Now, what's the significance? Kamosha asa Moshe Rabbeinu, nechsiv, va'eshed bahar. It says by Moshe Rabbeinu, three different lashonos of tefillah. Number one, va'eshed bahar, he sat while he was being with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Number two, Vanochi Amadati Bahar. Number two, he stood, Ve'esnapa Lefnei Hashem. And then number three, he was Nafa Lefnei Hashem. He fell before the Ribbono Shel Olam. V'lachein Omer Ma'achar Kach Va'anachnu La'Neda. Says the Torah, this is the reason why we say, after we finished all three forms of our tefillah, we sat, we stood, and we leaned down. Now we throw up our hands, we say, Va'anachnu La'Neda. We have no choice anymore. What are we supposed to do? We tried all three forms of tefillah, and we have nothing more to say. So that's why we throw up our hands to the Ribbono Shel Olam and we say, Anachlo Neda Manaseh, please accept our tefillahs because we have nothing more that we could possibly offer to you, Ribbono Shel Olam. So that's what the Torah writes. So what's the Nefilas HaPayim all about according to the Torah? Just simply to be a replica of Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillahs, that he did it in three different stages. In the Hagoyis Minhagim, they quote an interesting, different reason why you do Nefilas HaPayim, and they say the reason why is because if he Shekishahayu Yisrael Mishtachav in Ba'azar, when Kla Yisrael was being Mishtachav in the Beis HaMikdash, Haya Bein Kal Echa Be'echa Dalet Amos Kedei Shelo Yishma Vidur Shechaveir V'Yizbayish Memenu. The Mishnah tells us very clearly that when everyone used to bow down, there was a special nace used to happen. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, a special nace occurred that everyone had enough room, no one was on top of each other, and everyone had his own Dalet Amos that he could talk privately to the Ribbono Shel Olam and no one would hear his confession. Va'al Shem Zeh, says the Hagayis Minhagim, based on this minig, anu osim zecha l'migdash ba'astaris panim, kadesh shelo yehei kol echad ve'echad ro'el ma'asher mispal chaveiro. He says, this is all about a zecha l'migdash. We bow our heads, we put it down on the table, that no one should overhear our tefillos. We have a private conversation with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we're doing it in a way, just like in the Beis HaMikdash, they would fall on the floor, that no one should hear them, and they all had dalet amos, so too, v'zman hazeh, that's why we do this. It's all because of his Zeichel HaMikdash. And the Aruch HaShulchan, following in this train of thought, the Aruch HaShulchan quotes B'Shein HaBeis Yosef that in Adam Chashev, he says, should lean on his left arm. Why specifically on his left arm? So he says, because the Karbanos used to be brought on, they used to carry their Karbanos on the left arm when they were bringing them to the Mizbeach. So he says also, this is symbolism to the way it was done in the Beis HaMikdash, that the arm is what I do the Avodah with. So he says, therefore I should bow my head on my left arm. So it's interesting that you find within Nefilas HaPayim that it's all based on a Zeichel HaMikdash, and it's all coming to replicate things that were done in the Mikdash. A second example is in Kuf Lamed Beis in Aruch Chaim, the Rama writes, Kishayotze mi Beis HaKnesses, when you leave the shul, Mishtacha ve Yotze. Person is supposed to bow when he leaves. Now the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says the reason why you bow when you leave is because just like when I leave my Rebbe's house, someone who I have tremendous kavod for, so I always bow my head a little bit. I don't want to be so arrogant in front of him. I try to be a little bit humble. So therefore I'm supposed to bow when I leave. But the Mishnah Berurah writes the reason why is because the same way in the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishnah tells us that a person who would leave the Beis HaMikdash had to bow and walk out backwards as he was leaving. So too, that's why the Rama writes, Bezman Hazeh, a person is supposed to bow as he leaves the shul, because that's like a Mikdash Ma'at. And he's supposed to do a Zeichel HaMikdash in that form as well when he's leaving the shul. Based on this also, we have the Shir Shal Yom. Ashir Shalavim Hayomer Beis HaMikdash, you're by Mincha today, right? So I spoke about this a little bit, that Ashir Shalavim Hayomer Beis HaMikdash, that we try to replicate that which the Levim did on a daily basis. And the Torah poses a question, why is it that if the Levim used to sing Shira both, the Achranim will discuss this, if the Levim used to sing Shira both by Tamim Shal Shachar and Tamim Shal Bein Arbaim, why don't we say Shir Shalom by Mincha also? That's what we discussed at Mincha, interesting issue. But we know that the din is not like that. So we also say that based on a replica of what was done in the Beis HaMikdash. That's why we say Pita Makhtaris as well. The Torah says that's the reason why you're supposed to say Pita Makhtaris in the morning and at night, because a person is supposed to do just like the Hakrabas HaKarbanos, they used to have a Haktaris HaKarbanos after the Karbanos. So to Bizman Hazeh, we're supposed to say Pita HaKarbanos. It's interesting, I mentioned before that the Shari Tshuva quotes B'Shem Na'abadram. Why is it that we always find Ein Kalokeinu together with Pita HaKarbanos? What's the connection? Anyone ever think of this? Very interesting. What's the connection between the paragraph of Ein Kalokeinu and Pita HaKtaris? So he writes that since the Gemara tells us that Kala Oisik B'Ktaris is Misasher, since we know that a person who does the HaKtaris will become rich, is a Havtacha from the Ribbono Shel Olam, so therefore he says, we should go out of our way. We know that sometimes when people become wealthy, they all of a sudden think that they're all that. They think Kochav Eltzim Yadi. So he says, we should go out of our way to say the paragraph of Ein Kalokeinu before we start to let everybody know this wealth that we might be getting is not because of ourselves, it's not Kalechav Yatzim Yadim, it's only because the Ribbono Shel Olam is Ein Kalokeinu. It's only because he is so amazing, he's so wonderful, and he gives us everything that we have in our entire lives. So all this, basically, is within the Nusach HaTfilah, we find as many ways as we can to do things similar to the way it was done in the Beis HaMikdash. And finally, we have another case, which is an interesting Rambam, an interesting discussion, the Halacha. The Rambam in Perek Vav Halacha Tes from Avod Azara. If you look at the Rambam, he says, Hanotea Ilan Eitzel HaMizbeach. Person who plants a tree next to the Mizbeach, or B'chol HaAzara, or in the entire Azara in the base. HaMikdash Bein Ilan Sirak Bein Ilan Michael, doesn't matter what type of tree. Alpha Pisha Asar Lenoi LeMikdash V'Yofilo, even though it makes the base HaMikdash look beautiful, and even though it makes things look better, HaRezi Eloke, the person will get Malkus for planting this tree. Why? Shenemar, Lositu Lecha Asherah Eitzel Kol Eitzel Mizbeach Hashem Elokecha. Mipnei Shahaya Zederach of the Kacham Noti Lanas Besad Mizbeach Shalak Kadeshi Iskatsu Sham Ha'am. How do you make a place where people will want to come to? You grow gardens there. You plant beautiful flowers. This is the reason why people are going to want to frequent the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, says the Rambam, we don't want to be like the Goyim that have to do some sort of sales pitch to get people to come to church. Therefore, he says we can show that the Beis HaMikdash could be as simple as it is, and we don't need to impress anyone. We don't need to plant trees. We don't need to put up swings. We don't need to do anything. Says the Rambam, that is why it's Aser. And the Gemara Pesachim, the Abchasim Rebbeis, says a very similar concept, that that's why in Yerushalayim, there were no Peres Genusar, they didn't used to have these fancy fruits, in Yerushalayim they didn't have the Chamei Tiberia. Why didn't they make springs, why didn't they make hot tubs in Yerushalayim? The reason why is because people should never come to Yerushalayim and say, the reason why I came is because they have such wonderful fruits, or they have such wonderful hot springs. Rather, it's only for the purpose of visiting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of coming to the Beis HaMikdash. So that's the Rambam with regard to the Beis HaMikdash. What does that have to do with Bizman Hazeh? Why does the Rambam quote this halacha? What does that have to do with us? Says Rabbi Kiva Eger in his Hasagas to Shulchan Aruch Siman Kuf Nun in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses. He says, B'Shem, one of the Acharenim, Rab David Arama, who has a pirush on the Rambam, that even, he was at the same time as the Beis Yosef, so he says that even in a chatzar of a Beis HaKnesses, Bizman Hazeh, we're also not allowed to plant trees. What a chiddush. He learns out from this Rambam that not only Bizman Beis HaMikdash was there in Isser, he says nowadays Zechel HaMikdash were also not allowed to plant trees in the Chatzar of the Beis HaKnesses. Now there's a few extensions that he's making from the Rambam's original halacha. Number one, the Rambam said Eitzel Mizbeach Hashem Elokecha or in the Azara. And he's extending it to say B'chatzar Beis HaKnesses also, in the, why can't I plant it in the backyard of the shul? What's wrong with that? So the Rambam gave a reason. The reason why is because we don't want everything to be so beautiful that that's the reason why people should come to the shul. Which, I don't know, we go out of our way to make shuls very beautiful because we want people to be impressed. We want it to be a makam mechubad. So it's very interesting. Rabbi Kivager quotes this din, and it's interesting that in Shabbos Daf Yud Aleph it says that a Beis HaKnesses has to be gavoh mikol habinyanim in the town. A Beis HaKnesses has to be the tallest building. Why? Because we know that it's learned out from the Beis HaMikdash, l'roman Beis HaLakenu, that the same way the Beis HaMikdash had to be something, a Roman must have to be a special place where there was Roman must to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that was apparent in the building, so too we try to replicate that b'zman hazeh in our shuls, and the shul is supposed to be the highest point in the building. It's interesting, the Maram Shikin, his tshuva is very machmir in this halacha, in our Chaim Chilek Simenayim Ches, he gets very serious about this din. It's interesting to look there, whatever. It's a shiloh when you have, let's say, yeshiva and there's a dorm on top of the Beis Medrash. So how you let us sleep on top of the Beis Medrash if it says L'Roman Beis Elokeinu? The Beis Medrash is supposed to be on top. The shul is supposed to be the highest building. So whatever, it's a discussion whether it is allowed, it's not allowed, whatever. But the Achorim have a serious problem with this Rav David Aramah. They don't agree at all with Rabbi Kiva Eger's Chumrah. And the Netziv writes in his Tshuvas in Meshav Dabar that he doesn't think Rabbi Kiva Eger is correct. He says what we have instituted by the Chacham to be a Zechel HaMikdash is what we have. And there's no reason for you to go ahead, Rabbi David Aramah, quoted by Rabbi Kiva Eger, there's no reason for you to go ahead and make up new Chumras. And even more than that, the Binyan Tzion writes in his Tshuvas, he says, if you're correct that you're not allowed to have anything because of Zechel HaMikdash, you're not allowed to plant trees, so he says that we're not allowed to have benches either. In the Beis HaMikdash, they weren't allowed to have any of this. So he says, if you're going to take this Binyan so seriously and say there's a Zechel HaMikdash, you're not allowed to have any trees, so he says you're not allowed to build benches in a shul either, and that we know is not true. So the Achronim have a serious problem with this din. It's a little bit questionable. Generally, the minhag clearly is not to be machmir. I mean, we have benches in the shul and we have trees outside. So, I mean, the Binyan Tzion says that even if you want to be machmir for Rabbi David Aramah, that's only that you're not allowed to go ahead and plant a new tree. But if the trees were there beforehand, so obviously that chumrah would never apply in the first place. And then finally, the last example we're going to discuss is this minhag that we have to be mevarech birchas hachodesh before Rosh Chodesh. Now, what's that all about? It's an old minhag which is not in the Gemara. It's a minhag that we did not find in Chazal. It's a minhag which started with the Yireim, the Arzaruel, Shbalei Haleket, the Mardukhai, they all quote this. The Rishonim are the first ones that had this minhag, but it seems that this minhag was not around in the days of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, what's it about? It's all to be a zecher, the way the Rishonim quoted, it's all to be a zecher, the Migdash, of what Kiddush HaChodesh al-Pi Ariya used to look like when the Beis HaMikdash was around. And therefore the Magen Avraham writes in Taf Yud Zayin, which is Hilchas Rosh Chodesh, that a person is supposed to stand when they announce the Rosh Chodesh. Why? Because the same way the Bezdin used to stand when they announced Mekudesh HaChodesh, so too, nowadays we're also supposed to stand. Rabbi Kiva Eger in his Asagas there on Shulchan Aruch says, he doesn't agree, he says, where do you ever find the Mishnayis that Kiddush HaChodesh was done by Amida? Magen Avraham made up a Chumrah here. Everyone's supposed to stand during Kiddush HaChodesh Zechel HaMikdash, but he says we never find it in times of Beis HaMikdash that they would stand for Kiddush HaChodesh at all. He says, Adarab, it seems from the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah that they would sit. He says that he has a Mefurshah Mishnah, whatever, so this is a whole discussion, whether or not you're supposed to sit or stand. Rabbi Moshe writes in his Tshuva that since the Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah that the Rosh HaBezin used to say Mekudosh HaChodesh, and everyone around, all of Klal Yisrael who was standing around, used to scream out Mekudosh Mekudosh, so he says, based on that, that's why all of the tzibur stands up, because the Rosh...
When you give edus, you have to stand.
Right.
So the edim for the levana, they stood, right?
Right.
The bezdin was sitting.
So,
what do we do? Are we the edim or are we the bezdin?
Oh, so that's where Moshe touches on your point a little bit. He says, we're more like the edim, because we're more like the people who are standing around, who were screaming out, Mekudosh Mekudosh, after bezdin was Mekadosh Lechodosh. So therefore, Moshe says, that's a pshat in this Magen Avraham. That's why a person should go out of his way to try to stand up for the Rosh Chodesh benching.
Can we do that?
That is what we do. Yes. Not so hard. Why not? Same way the Magen Avraham says you should stand for Parshas Tamid. Why not? Not so hard. So you try. Yeah, then you sit. Okay. Just a quick vart on the Parsha here. The Sichas Musar, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz has a beautiful, beautiful snippet that he quotes from Reb Chaim Balazar in the Nefesh HaChaim. And that goes as follows. Parshas Truma, it says, Ba'asa li migdash v'shachanti b'sochan, the beginning of the parsha, and it says, Yadua ha-maimer b'socho lo nemar. Why doesn't it say, Ba'asa li migdash v'shachanti b'socho? What's b'socham? You should build a Beis HaMikdash, and I will dwell in the Beis HaMikdash. What's b'socham in them? Who's them? Says Reb Chaim V'lozhiner, in the Nefesh HaChaim, Shar Aleph Parak Dalid, Ela b'socham b'soch kol echad ve'echad mi'Yisrael, Mashre HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechinasa. Says Reb Chaim V'lozhiner, a famous Yisoid, and he says, Reb Chaim V'lozhiner, Nefesh HaChaim, Shar Aleph also writes that that's why a person who has Machshava Zaras, a person who has terrible Machshavas, he has bad things in his mind, the reason why that's so bad, he said, is because it's like your neshama is like the mizbeach. Your neshama is like the holiest part of the Beis HaMikdash that you've built in yourself. And he says, if your neshama is having terrible thoughts, so then he said that that's a lot worse. It's like being makriv a chazir on the mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's what Reb Chaim V'lozhiner writes. So says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz in the Sichas Musar, I'll call echad mi Yisrael laso says atzmo mishkan Hashem. Reb Chaim V'lozhiner is teaching us that everyone must make himself like a personal and a private Beis HaMikdash. Ha'adam atzmo nepach lios mother l'shchina. I am a host of the Shechina. V'hu k'neged akruvim v'ha'afanim shamayla. Ha'adam nivra b'tzelem alokim v'ha'arehu me'ein olam ha'elyon. A person is a portion, he's a piece of Ruchnias, he's a real piece of the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore he says everyone has to make sure that they purify themselves as much as they possibly can during their lives, to make sure that they're actually befitting to be a Beis HaMikdash. V'gamas gufa v'chalevar v'tzarach adam l'sakin. A person has to be careful to make sure all of his body is in line the way it's supposed to be. She'yiruim v'hagunim li'as mishkan l'shchina matzina sham v'chazal. Chazal say, she'chava nensha alfa b'shalo ha'isa b'shach ha'tzivri. Why was Chava punished? She was not around when the tzivri of the Ribbono Shel Olam came, that you're not allowed to eat from the Eitz HaDaas. So why was she punished? She'nemar v'yitzav Hashem Elokim ala Adam. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave a tzivri to Adam, so why was it that Chava was punished as well? Says the Chizkuni, who's quoting the Medrash, v'ha'adam kol alas kol eivara v'hatzela b'chalal, because we know that Chava was taken from a portion of Adam HaRishon. So therefore he says that when the Ribbono Shel Olam gave the tzivui to Adam, Chava was included. And a person's entire body has to realize that they have a chiyuv of shmiras ha-mitzvahs collectively. A person has to put himself all together and make sure his entire personality, his entire being, is something that's able to be considered a mikdash ma'adam. With this, the Reb Chaim V'lozhiner's Varda, Va'asa li mikdash v'shachanti b'socho, will become a reality. It's not going to be b'socho. It's not going to be that the Ribbono Shel Olam is only going to live in the Beis HaMikdash. It's v'shachanti b'socham, that the Ribbono Shel Olam will come and dwell in each and every one of us as well.